Isaiah chapter 33, we'll begin our reading together in verse number 1. We are continuing our series in the book of Isaiah. We are halfway in this wonderful book in our Bible, and we come to the 33rd chapter. The Bible says this in verse number 1, "Woe to thee that spoilest, and thou wast not spoiled, and dealest treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled. And when thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. O Lord, be gracious unto us, we have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. At the noise of the tumult, the people fled. At the lifting up of thyself, the nations were scattered. And your spoil shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar. As the running to and fro of locusts shall he run upon them. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure." Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for your word and its truth. Lord, I pray that you would get a hold of our hearts this morning. Lord, I know that I cannot say anything to help anyone. Lord, it is your word that makes the difference. And so we lift up your word this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would guide and direct our thoughts. I know, Lord, that we are burdened down with so many things on our mind today. But Lord, I pray our direction, our focus would be on you. And Lord, in these next moments, I pray you would speak to our hearts. I pray that you would work your grace in our life and that, Lord, we would see our folly, we would see your truth, and that we would make good decisions in our life. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done and what you will do. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I think that all of us would agree this morning that it's the grace of God that we need. The grace of God that we need. I'm not talking about what we deserve because we all deserve separation from God. I'm talking about what we don't deserve, God's unmerited favor in our life. The story is told of a dad who was taking his adopted daughter to Disney World. And for years, she was denied going by her original adoptive parents. And when she finally got to experience the Magic Kingdom, this was her response. She said, "Daddy, I finally got to go to Disney World, but it wasn't because I was good. It was because I was yours." I'm glad today that we can experience the grace and mercy of Almighty God. I'm glad today that God is with us and he's helping us. And I'm glad today that we are his. We are a child of God. And friend, today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you have not put your trust in Christ, then today, listen, God brought you here this morning so that you could be saved. He loves you and he wants to be your Savior today. And I invite you to know the Lord today. In this passage of Scripture, God was going to judge Assyria. The Bible says the one who spoiled would eventually be spoiled. The one who dealt treacherously with other nations would be dealt with treacherously. They would come to a point in their life where they would reap what they sow. And by the way, friend, the Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And the day of reaping was coming for the nation of Assyria. Even though they believed that they were unstoppable, their actions and their attitudes would eventually catch up to them. God would judge this people for their ungodliness. The Bible says in chapter 33 that Judah no longer looked to Egypt for help. Judah no longer looked to themselves, but they looked to Jehovah God for their strength. And we find in chapter 33 this prayer for God's grace, that God would be gracious. And by the way, in our study in the book of Isaiah, we learned in the 30th chapter of the book of Isaiah that God was waiting for this people to turn their hearts toward Him. And when they would turn their hearts toward God, that God truly would be a gracious God. And we find in this passage of Scripture that God would deal, in fact, graciously with this people. The God it was who they were waiting for in verse 2, that they would no longer run ahead of God or try to figure it out on their own. They would no longer take matters into their own hands. But in fact, in verse 2, God would be their strength. God would be their trust. They would look to the Lord early in the morning. God would be their arm. God would be their help. God would be their protection. I want to encourage you, Christians, to look to God in the morning. When you wake up in the morning, make sure that you look to the Lord for the strength that you need. You don't know what events are going to happen throughout the day, and we need God to help us early in the morning. The Bible says in Proverbs 8, verse 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Someone penned these words, when in the morning, when God you forsake, ask Him to make you strong in the places you are weak. Ask Him to reveal to you what is His perfect will. Ask Him to give you calm in areas you aren't still. Ask Him to shine His light on the righteous way. Ask Him to be your eyes before you start your day. Ask Him to fill your heart with His mercy and His love. Ask Him to be your ears so to hear His voice above. When in the evening, when to God you start to pray, ask Him to remind you to seek Him first the next day. God, help us to seek the Lord. And this people sought the arm of God in the morning. The Bible says in Psalm 5 and verse 3, my voice shall thou hear in the morning, O God. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. I will look up. When we begin every morning, friend, make sure that we're looking up to God, for we need the Lord's strength in our life each and every day. God would deliver Judah, this people. God would separate their enemies. God would lift up this righteous people because they would trust in God. God would be their treasure in their life. We have read and studied in chapter 32, and chapter 31, and chapter 30, how Judah was looking to Egypt, and how Judah would look to themselves, and that would become the treasure in their life. And yet, God had worked in their heart, and God had brought them to this place where God was their true treasure, where they looked to the Lord for the strength they needed in their day. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. Can we turn there together? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 7. The Bible says this, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We have this treasure in our life as Christians, that our strength is not dependent on us. Our strength is found in God. And this people had looked to the Lord. This people had realized that their strength didn't come from the Egyptians. This people realized that their strength didn't come from their own wisdom. Their strength came from God. And we notice in this scripture the outcome of that. If you're taking notes this morning, would you write some things down? Number one, would you write this thought down? The praise of this people. The praise of this people. The Bible says in verse number 5, the Lord is exalted, for He dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion, or Jerusalem. This would be the capital city of Judah. He has filled Zion with judgment and righteousness, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. First of all, I want us to notice, if we could, the Lord is exalted. The Lord is exalted. The Bible says the Lord is exalted, for He dwelleth on high. God is on His throne. Aren't you glad today in all of the mess that's happening that we can stand here confident knowing that God is on the throne? that God is in control. And here this people saw God on the throne. The events showed them that God had a plan and that they could trust in the almighty plan of God. It was not their wisdom that was exalted. It was not their abilities or their problem-solving skills. It was God that was exalted. It was God that was on the throne. You see, God had brought them to this very place to bring them low so that they could look up and see the Lord. And today, if you're struggling to see God in your life, maybe it's because you have exalted something in God's place. Maybe today you need to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God and let God lift you up in due time. The Bible says in Psalm 18:46, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted." We find in this scripture that God is exalted, but also we see the Lord is righteous, verse 5. The Bible says the Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. Friend, don't miss this. God always does what is right. He always does what is right. And we may not see that right now in our life. We may be in circumstances that we cannot trace the hand of God. But friend, listen to me. God's way is righteous. The pathway of God leads us in the best way in our life, and we can trust God. He is a God of judgment and a God of righteousness. I want us to turn back to the book of Exodus, if we could, to the very beginning of our Bible, to the 13th chapter of the book of Exodus. In this particular context, in Isaiah 33, the Assyrian army has surrounded Judah, and they are really in a difficult place. And in Exodus chapter 13, the Exodus, as God's people is leaving Egypt, God had directed them to the Red Sea, and now they are trapped. They have the Egyptians coming toward them and the Red Sea before them, and there really is no place for them to go. And the Bible says this in verse number 17 in chapter 13, "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines," although that was near, or though that pathway would make sense for you and I, but God is, his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. "For God said, lest preadventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you." First of all, I want us to consider this. Not only the Lord is righteous, but God leads his people with purpose. God leads his people with purpose. God never moves without a purpose and a plan. God's moves are precise, and God's moves are calculated. Listen, friend, God allowed a worldwide tax to bring Mary and Joseph exactly to the place he wanted them to be in Bethlehem so that his word would be fulfilled. God allowed Joseph's brothers to sell Joseph, or Joseph to go to jail for a crime he never committed. Why? So that he could save many people alive. God allowed the Apostle Paul to struggle with a physical handicap to keep him in the ministry. God allowed Job to be the devil's personal punching bag so that he could quiet the devil and ultimately bless Job greatly in the end. Friend, listen to me. Don't give up until the complete story is written, because God has a purpose. God leads with purpose. I heard the story of Haldor Linena, who was a founder of a noted music publishing company. He made his way to the United States from Scandinavia. His first years in the country were hard, but a kind lady befriended him and taught him the English language. More importantly, perhaps, she told him the story of the Lord Jesus and led Haldor to Christ. He became a Christian, and throughout his life, many times, she would sing to him the song entitled, "God Leads his dear children along. And years later, he began to think about that song and how meaningful it had been to his youth. And so he decided to find something out about its writer, C.A. Young, and he discovered that the songwriter had passed away, but his widow was living in a nearby town. And so Haldor drove out to that little town and found her in a really nothing more than a shack. And his excitement mounted as she began to tell him this story. She said, "My husband and I were married while we were very young. God gave us a wonderful life together. He led us from day to day. We had so much of Jesus. But then God took my husband. Now God has led me here, and I'm so excited and glad about it. God has used me in this place. Isn't it wonderful," she said, "that God leads his children day by day and step by step? Many people come to this place, and they are sad, and they're in such great need, and they need comfort and help, and I'm able to cheer many of them and lead scores of them to the Lord Jesus Christ. How thankful I am that God has brought this place to me where I can be so much help to this people." And when Haldor heard this, he was deeply moved by Mrs. Young's words and excited that he found not just the story behind the gospel song, but he had found a Christian woman completely surrendered to the will of God in her life. And then he thought to himself, yes, 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 God truly does lead his children, some through the waters, and some through the flood, and some through the fire, but all through the blood, and some through great sorrow. And God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. God leads his people with purpose. Aren't you glad for that? But also God leads his people with promise. The Bible says in Exodus 13, verse 19, "And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry my bones away hence with you." Joseph was given a promise by God that God would meet with his people. And Joseph told that story to Moses. And when Moses came to the Red Sea, my friend, he didn't just have the purposes of God. He also had the promises of God that God would meet with his people. I'm glad today for the great promises that we have in our life today. I want us to turn to the book of Philippians. If you could turn there with me, Philippians chapter 4 in the Word of God. Philippians chapter 4. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 11. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 11. The Apostle Paul here is writing to the church at Philippi, a poor but wonderful church that loved God so much. And here the Apostle Paul is explaining the purposes of God in his life. He says here in this scripture, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." The word content there is to be detached from the circumstances of our life. "For I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Listen, at the end of the day, oftentimes we take this passage of Scripture and we tear it out of context and we say, "Listen, I can climb that mountain because I can do all things through Christ." And that's not what this passage of Scripture is talking about. What the Apostle Paul is saying here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is that where God leads you, God will provide. Where God leads you, God will give you the grace to sustain you. Whether it's to be abounding or whether it's to be abased, where God brings you, God is going to be there to help you. That's a wonderful promise in our life today, that God is there. The will of God will never take you where the grace of God cannot keep you, where the arms of God cannot support you, where the riches of God cannot supply your needs, where the power of God cannot endow you. God's promise is that he will be there to guide you and to help you in your life. But thirdly, God leads his people with a plan. God leads his people with a plan. We're going to have to go back to Isaiah chapter 33 and notice what the Bible says here in verse number 6. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse number 6. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture, verse number 6, "And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times." We're living in some you know, unstable days. And there are some people that are like, what in the world is going to happen in our life? Friend, listen to me. If you know the Lord, you don't have to be shaky. You can be stable today. Why? Because God has everything under control. And the knowledge and the wisdom that God gives to us should bring that confidence and that stability in our life. In 2 Kings chapter 18, the Bible gives us the story of Hezekiah. I mean, Hezekiah wasn't a perfect king, and yet God had a plan for this man's life. Hezekiah, the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 18, Hezekiah claved unto the Lord, and God used him in a mighty way. And friend, listen, God has a plan for your life as well. God has a plan. Clave unto the Lord. Look to him. God will lead you. You can have confidence today. You can trust the Lord. You can have stability in your life because God has a plan for our life. Also, letter C, we notice the Lord is honored. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is our treasure. God is our treasure. The fear of God is not looking to a wicked nation. The fear of God is not trusting in our own ability. The fear of God is showing God reverence that God is going to show up and that God is going to help us. Think about this verse today, Psalm 36, verse number 1. The Bible says, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before their eyes. When we lack fear for God, we are willing to sin against him. And we don't care if God sees us, and we don't care about the outcome. We are willing to sin against Almighty God. Why? Because there is no fear for God. Our world today, would you agree, our world today lacks fear for God. The Bible teaches us that the fear of God is our treasure. Looking to the Lord, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. You say, Pastor Burns, give me some wisdom. I want to know how I can live my life. I'll tell you how to live your life. The conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God and to keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. God, help us today to understand that God, he is our treasure, and we must look to him in our life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Not only do I notice the praise of the people, but I want us to consider, number two, the perspective of the people. The perspective of the people. Verse number 7 in our text, behold, their valiant ones shall cry without. The ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. The highways lie waste. The wayfaring man ceaseth. He hath broken the covenant. He hath despised the cities. He regardeth no man. The city mourneth and languisheth. Lebanon is ashamed and hewed down. Sharon is like a wilderness. And Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruits. Verse number 10, look what the Bible says. Now will I rise, saith the Lord. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift myself. Now will I lift up myself. And this passage of Scripture, it describes for us the condition of Judah. And I mean, things looked pretty bleak. The reality is the Assyrian army was all around them. The roads were destroyed. Even the brave soldiers, in verse 7 says, even the brave soldiers will weep. In verse 8, the ambassadors of peace will weep bitterly. The roads are destroyed. The travelers will stop. The situation was truly hopeless. Even the mighty trees of Lebanon are hewed down, the Bible says. And yet in verse number 10, though the situation was hopeless, here's a wonderful thought. God will arise. God will show up. I'm glad when my back is up against the wall. I'm glad when I don't have any of the answers that God is there to help me. And the Bible says that this people would see the Lord in a different way. They would change their perspective. In fact, they would first of all see the Lord. He is the all-powerful one. The Bible says, now will I be exalted. Now will the world see my power, that I am Jehovah God, that I am the one and only God. I am the all-powerful God. Friend, listen, God will arise. When Moses when Moses had led those people to the Red Sea and they didn't have any answers and they didn't know what they were going to do. They couldn't get over the Red Sea. They couldn't go under the Red Sea and they couldn't go around it. The Bible says in Exodus 14, verse 13, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today." I am glad that the Lord arised. I'm glad that the Lord showed up and God helped this people. Why? Because he is the all-powerful one. But also notice this, he is the all-sufficient one. He's the all-sufficient one. The Bible says that God says he will lift up myself. God is totally sufficient within himself. I want us to turn, if we could, to John chapter 5 in our Bibles together. Can we turn there? John chapter 5 in our Bibles. John chapter 5, and notice what the scripture says in verse number 26. John chapter 5 and verse 26. The Bible says this, "For as the Father hath life in himself," look what the Bible says here, "as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself." God is self-sufficient. Friend, listen to me. He needs no food to nourish him. He needs no water to sustain him. God doesn't need air to remain breathing. God's sufficiency is recorded in the world. In the beginning, God. Not the beginning of God. God has always been. But the beginning of time and space. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible says, "By God all things consist." In other words, his thoughts keep this world in orbit. God is aware of the smallest bird that falls from the sky. God has all of the hairs of our head numbered. There is no scientific laws for God to survive. He needs no time. He needs no heat. He needs no light. He needs no grace. He needs no joy. He needs no life. He needs no love. God needs nothing. He is all sufficient. He is all sufficient. And yet the Bible says that we are insufficient. God is the all-sufficient one. He is the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, the Bible says. All that God is and whatever God is, it comes from within himself and no other. And yet the Bible teaches us from the lowest form of life to the mighty cherubims and seraphims, we all need God. All of us. We need the Lord every day of our life. This world needs God. And in the scripture we see God's sufficiency and man's insufficiency, because when we come to the end of our means, this is when God arises. This is when God shows up. When you come to the end of yourself, you say, "Pastor Burns, I'm at my wit's end. I just don't know what else to do." Then you're exactly where God wants you to be, so that he can arise and he can show up and he can help you and he can give you the strength and the grace to take another step by his glory. And we find in this scripture in verse 13, the Bible says, "Hear ye that are afar off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. The fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among you shall dwell with the devouring fire? And who among you shall dwell with everlasting burning?" God is going to show up, and God is going to deliver Judah. God is going to fight the battle that they could never fight. In fact, in Psalm 126, there are a lot of commentaries that believe, and Bible scholars believe, that Psalm 126 is actually a psalm written during this time, during the deliverance to Jerusalem, that God shows up against the Assyria army. And many believe also that Psalm 126 was actually written by King Hezekiah. And the Bible says this, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with shining. Then said they among the heathen, The Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." Because God arised, because God showed up, and God helped this people. I want you to see number three, if we could. Number three, and we'll be done. The prosperity of this people. The Bible says in verse number 15, "He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil." God will bless the people as they live righteously and as they live in truth. You know, this is not an easy pathway, but it's the right pathway. And this is the pathway where God is on our side. How can we accomplish this? Well, we do it by trusting the Lord and allowing God to guide us, coming to the end of ourselves and realizing that God is our treasure and trusting in the Lord. The Bible says that this righteous man and this prosperity will be given to the one who hates sin. The Bible says that they won't approve the wickedness and the evil around them, that they won't join in, they won't celebrate their wickedness. They'll despise those that give oppressions. They'll despise those that hold out bribes, that stop listening and stop looking at evil. No, they will do what is right. They will follow God's word for their life. The Bible says in verse 16 that God will bless them. In fact, the Bible says that the Lord will lift them up. God will protect them in the rocks. God will give them spiritual bread and spiritual water to help them in their life. The Bible says in verse 17 that they will see God in their life. Though in Jerusalem there were many religious people, God's desire was that this people would turn from an outward appearance of righteousness to a genuine trust in God. And the Bible says that they would truly see God, the King, in His beauty. That they would look to the Lord in their life, and they would see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And this was the prayer of the Lord for their life. I believe with all my heart that this is what God wants to do in my life. And this is what God wants to do in your life today. You see, He's drawing us to Himself. God wants us to see Him high, holy, and lifted up, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. God wants us to stand up and be excited today because God is on our side and God will fight for us. And when we come to the ends of our means, when we come to the end of ourselves, it is the Lord that will arise. And God will have us exactly where He wants us to be low, so we can look up and see the King in all of His beauty. That's what the Lord wants for our life. The Bible says in verse 23 of chapter 33, the Bible says, "Thy tacklings are loosed. They could not well strengthen their mast. They could not spread the sail." Jerusalem was a sinking ship. They had no hope at all. And yet the Bible says the Lord rose up. And God says, "I'll fight the battle." Maybe today you would say, "Pastor Burns, I'm that sinking ship in my life. I just feel like I'm not getting ahead. I just feel like I'm crushing beneath the load and the burdens of life. I am that sinking ship." My friend, today, see the all-powerful one. See the all-sufficient one. Let God show up today. Let God arise in your life. The Bible says in this text here in chapter 33 that then is the prey of a great spoil divided, and the lame take the prey. Even the weakest in Jerusalem will be a part or take a part of the spoil. Why? Because God's going to fight the battle. And even the weakest among them will get a part in what God has done. Friend, if you get nothing in the message, get this. That illustration is the best illustration I can give you today of what it means to be a Christian. Because we were on our way to hell. We were lost and we were undone. Friend, listen to me. We were that sinking ship, and we didn't have any hope. And the Bible says that Jesus arose. The Bible says he came to this earth, he died on the cross so that we could have eternal life. It was God that defeated the devil. It was God that defeated the grave. It was God that defeated death. And we get to be a part, the weakest among them. We get to be a part of the spoil because God won the victory that day on Calvary. And you get to be a partaker of the very grace of God. You have a home in heaven. You can be a child of God. You can have God lead you and direct you. You can talk to him and the Almighty Creator God will hear your prayer because God fought the battle that you could not even start. That, my friend, is what salvation is all about. And if you don't know Jesus today as your Savior, then the Bible teaches us his arms are wide open. And he's saying to you, come. The bride says, come. The church says, come. The Spirit says, come. Come and enjoy the wonderful fountain of water freely. God is a gracious God today, friend. He's working in your life. May we praise the Lord. May we have the right perspective. And may we understand the prosperity of a people who looks to God. You say, Pastor Burns, it's tough for me. I'm in a terrible spot. You're exactly where God wants you to be. Humble yourself. It's God who will lift you up. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful.